A question for you this morning. Do you consider yourself a strong or a weak person? Well, now, I don't mean physically. I mean mentally. In what you understand about things, in your opinions and how you hold to what you feel is the truth. We live in a society where everybody has an opinion on everything. And it seems that those in charge want to force everyone to think the way they think. We find our country torn apart, divided by race, by class, by vaccination status, by political party, by any number of things. As Christians, we are to follow the truth of God's word and not be swayed by the world's ever-changing mandates on what we are to think or do. In Deuteronomy 29:29, God tells us this, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. You see, there are certain things that we just like to know. We'd like to know everything, but there are some things that God just hadn't told us. Then it continues, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. God has told us everything that we need to know in order to live successfully here on this earth. When we look at the scriptures, when we look at what God has given us, we see that there are two types of commands that he has given us. There are specific commands and there are general commands. By specific commands, we mean things that God has spelled out exactly what he wants done and how he wants it done. And there's no question about it. Things like he told Noah how to build the ark. He didn't just say build a boat. He gave him specifics. This long, this high, this wide, this many decks, you know, I'll make it out of this, put one door in it, put a window in it, all of these specifics on how to build it. God gave us specifics on how he wants his church set up, how he wants leadership in it, how he wants to be worshiped. He's given us specifics about all those things, and we don't have a choice other than to follow his word. But then there are some general commands. Things like he tells us to take care of the widows and orphans. He doesn't tell us how. He just says do it. People can have different ideas on how to do that. He tells us, for instance, in the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Well, how are we to go? Do we go by plane? Do we go by train? Do we go by boat? Do we go by internet? How do we go? You see, he's not specific there. That's a general command, and we can use our intelligence to figure out how to do that. So, in light of knowing that, why is there so much division in the world, even in the church? Why don't all people, especially Christians, see things the same way? And especially those specific commands where God just spells it right out for us, here's what I want done. Well, it may be that some people just don't have all the facts on the subject. They never bother to check it out for themselves. They consider themselves religious, but, you know, they rely on social media to get their information. Boy, now there's a reliable source. Or they rely on what some supposed expert said. Or what they heard somewhere. Instead of doing the work to examine the facts for themselves. Many churchgoers just take what the preacher says without ever bothering to check the scriptures for themselves. Note what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are so slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. How do we grow up? How do we become the kind of people God wants us to be? We need to do the constant use. Train ourselves to distinguish good from evil. Check out what the Bible says. See what it really says. See what God has told us, not just what somebody told you, he said. Another reason that there's a lot of problems is that sometimes it's tradition versus scripture. It may be that a person is caught up in tradition. You know, their family always did things a certain way. They always believed a certain way. They always did this. They never bothered to check to see if what they believed was right according to the scriptures or not. You know, even the Apostle Paul was fact-checked. The Bereans fact-checked Paul. Acts 17:11. Now the Berean Jews were more noble characters, of more noble character than those of Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. God says, check it out. See that what I'm telling you is right. So in light of that, in light of the divisions in our world, what are we to do with fellow Christians who, even where God is specific and spelled things out, just don't seem to understand? Well, the instructions are given us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. We urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, and always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Our job is to teach and follow the specific commands in God's Word. When He tells us what to do, there can be no question. We can't say, well, that's my opinion or your opinion. That's God's opinion, and God's opinion always must be followed. So when He gives us a specific command, there's no question. If someone doesn't understand it, we need to warn them. Well, this is what He said. We need to encourage them, do what He says. We need to help them. We need to be patient. No, sometimes it takes people time to come around. But when God is specific, we too need to be specific. But then there's that other part. How do we deal with our fellow Christians who may feel differently about something on which God has not given us specifics? On what we might call the disputable things. Well, Paul addresses this in Romans 14. He says this, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. He said, don't make a big deal out of things that are disputable. In other words, things that God hasn't given us specific instructions on how to do. Where we can use our own intellect to figure out how He wants it done. We will do what He says to do, but how we do it is up to us. You know, if you consider yourself strong, don't insist on doing things your way, my way or the highway. No. God hasn't told us how He wants it done. He just said do it, and He's left it up to us. And then Paul gets very specific about some things that he was dealing with. In verse 2, one man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the one who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Paul says, don't look down on someone who has a different opinion on things that God hasn't given us specifics on. The master, the strong is not master over the weak. The weak is not master over the strong. We're all responsible to God for what we do. You see, Paul is addressing a problem of the first century church. The problem was Jews and Gentiles worshiping together. If the church was just Jews, fine. If the church was just Gentiles, fine. But when the gospel went to the whole world, and Jews and Gentiles started to come into the same congregation, they began to have some problems. Because the Jews were brought up with certain dietary restrictions. If you're a Jewish, you don't eat this, 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 or this. Stay away from these animals, they're unclean. Gentiles didn't have that. If you were Jewish, there were certain days that you were brought up worshiping. Days that you were special feast days, special times of gathering. They had those all throughout their calendar year. Gentiles had a few, but not the same ones and not nearly as many. So when they came together in the church, there was natural conflict there between the Jews and Gentiles. They'd been brought up in different ways, and so when they tried to come together, each one had an opinion on how things should be done. What Paul is reminding them is that we're all responsible to God. Our goal is to please Him. So he continues on and says, for this very reason, because we're all responsible to God, Christ died and returned to life so he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Why do you look down on your brother? For we'll all stand before God's judgment seat, as it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. We're responsible to the Lord. Then in verse 13 through 15, Paul says this, therefore. Now, therefore means because of what I just finished saying. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If there was a Jewish Christian in the congregation, and they were brought up saying, stay away from that pork, then they shouldn't eat pork. Whether it's right or wrong, for them it would be, because they feel that it is wrong. That's the key. If you think something's wrong, then for you it is, whether it is or isn't. It's what you believe on those things. Verse 19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and a mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it's wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. You see, what we believe in matters of opinion doesn't make us more or less pleasing to God, as long as we act consistently with our beliefs. And we must also consider the effect of our belief on someone else. We don't want to become a stumbling block to them. Galatians 5, verse 19 and 20, points out that there are certain acts of the sinful nature, that it's a sin to promote things like hatred and discord and dissension and factions. It's a sin to cause problems between people. We as Christians all need to get along. We all need to understand one another. We all need to be patient with one another. Let me give you another example from the time of the Bible. In Roman times, people shopped daily for their food in the marketplace. They didn't have a refrigerator. They didn't have a freezer. So every day you had to go to the marketplace and get what you were going to eat that day. There were vegetables and fruits and nuts and a meat market there. In most locations, the meat sold in the marketplace was meat that had been offered on the altar of the city's idol. The excess meat was removed from the altar after the ceremony and taken to the market to be sold. To the Jews, that meat was forbidden. It had been offered to an idol. Don't eat it. Stay away from it. The Gentiles didn't think anything about it. So again, when you have Jews and Gentiles in the same congregation, you've got problems there. When they became Christians, the Jews still had a problem with that, because they'd been raised all along, you don't eat that kind of meat. It's been offered to an idol. Stay away from it. This became a big problem in the city of Corinth. So look at what Paul writes to them. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Now about food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. What Paul is saying there is that if you think you have the answers to everything, if you think you know the answer to every questionable thing, you tend to get puffed up. But what the Lord wants is for us to love our fellow Christians. He wants us to think about someone else as well as ourselves. And so Paul continues and says this, "So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, here's what I want you to do. We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and there's no God but one. Even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there's but one God, the Father, from whom all things came, and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came, and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol, and since their conscience is weak, it's defiled. Such food does not bring us near to God. We're no worse if we do not eat, no better if we do." Paul says there are people out there who don't realize that an idol's nothing. And that placing a piece of food in front of a chunk of rock doesn't pollute the food. But he says not everybody understands that. He said, we know that. We know that an idol's nothing. As Christians, we understand that. But he said, a lot of people don't. They think it's been polluted. They think there's something wrong with it. So he continues in verse 9. "Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak." He said, you may know something that's right. You may know that doesn't mean anything. But don't try to push it on somebody else who thinks that it is. Now, that's a disputable matter. That's something that God hasn't spoken to us about. You see, the other person's soul is the most important thing. So he sums it up in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. "Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial." Paul said, I know it wouldn't matter to God if I eat that meat or not. But he said it might not be the best thing to do. "Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek his own good, but the good of others." And then in 1 Corinthians 10, 31. "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews or Greeks or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Paul says the other person's soul is the most important consideration in how we are to deal with disputable matters. Philippians 2, verse 3. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look only not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." You see, Jesus calls us to build each other up, to encourage each other, to strengthen each other, to teach each other, to learn the truth of the matter in love. That's the attitude that Jesus had. We're told in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know that says, when we were still sinners, that God loved us, that God had his son to die for us, when we didn't think the same way he did? When we didn't see things and do things the same way he wanted them done, he still loved us and cared for us and did what we needed. But somebody might say, well, what's a disputable matter? I mean, we don't have to worry too much about food sacrificed to idols today. We don't have to worry about this thing or that thing. And what does it have to do with my life as a Christian now? Well, that's two questions. Let's take them one at a time. First question, what's a disputable matter? How do we apply this scripture to today? Well, we need to first of all look where in the scripture is the subject discussed. You know, if whatever is under consideration, what does the Bible have to say about it? If it's mentioned, is it a specific, spelled out in detail command? Or is it a general command? What did God have to say about it? Did he tell us how to do it exactly? Or did he just say, do it and leave it up to us? Or is it something that's not even in the scripture at all? Is it something that God didn't give us specific instructions on? Second thing to think about, If society's experts' way of dealing with a matter keeps changing, if what you're told to do about something keeps changing from day to day, it's a disputable matter. Now, if you can't find it in the scriptures, or if it's not specifically laid out in the scriptures, it's a disputable matter. If the experts, if our society says to do this one day and the next day they tell you something different, and this expert says this and that expert says that, it's a disputable matter. Regardless of whether they say the science is settled or not, it's a disputable matter. So what does it do to apply to us today? What are the disputable matters that we have to deal with? Well, here's a good one. Mask or unmask. That's a disputable matter. You know, the advice keeps changing. Wear it indoors. Wear it outdoors. Don't eat it outdoors. Just wear it in big settings. Wear it in small settings. Wear it here, there. It keeps changing. It's a disputable matter. There's no clear benefits ever been found. And may even cause problems. But it's up to you. It's a disputable matter. If you think you ought to wear one, wear one. If you think you don't, don't. But don't try to force it on somebody else. It's not in the scriptures. That's a disputable matter. Don't make your fellow Christians feel bad because they do one thing or the other. That's a disputable matter. Here's another one. Do I get a vaccine or not? Boy, does that split up families. That's caused people to lose friends and quit doing this or that and everything else. But you don't know everybody else's problems and health issues. They may have natural immunity. If you've had natural immunity, that's better than having the vaccine. You don't know how they feel about the situation. There are some people who have been told by their doctor, you've got this condition, don't take the vaccine because it'll cause you problems. Yet those in charge don't consider that. You don't hear that from, you know, our experts. We don't know everybody's situation. That's a disputable matter. Each person has to make their own choice. What are they going to do? And we can't say, well, I feel this way, so everybody else ought to feel that way. It's up to each individual. God didn't tell us. That's a disputable matter. Here's another one. Do I give in to the mandate and get vaccinated, or do I lose my job? Boy, that's coming to fruition right now. There's a lot of people having to make that decision. We have to be convinced in our own mind. Now, I understand the arguments on both sides. There are some people who make a compelling argument as why you should. There are some who make a compelling argument as why you shouldn't. But God didn't tell us. It's a disputable matter, and we as Christians cannot enforce our views on somebody else. We need to be convinced in our own mind. It's a disputable matter. Matter of fact, what does the Bible say about things like this? Romans 14:22, whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Don't try to force it on somebody else. Don't impose your feelings about disputable things on others. Now, where God has spelled things out, where he's told us exactly what he wants done, there could be no question. But on other things that we have to deal with day by day, we need to be convinced in our own mind. We need to understand. We need to think the things through. And then keep it to yourself. Whatever you feel, fine. It's not going to make you more religious or less religious if you do this or that. It's not going to make you more pleasing to God or less pleasing to God. It's something that you need to be convinced of in your own mind. So there are some disputable things, but there are other things that are not disputable that people try to make disputable. Things like, you know, things that God has made clear. And yet people say, oh, well, that's not clear. We've got to argue about that. Things like racism. You know what the Bible says? The Bible's very clear about racism. The Bible says there's only one race. The human race. We all came from Adam and Eve. And yet there are people out there who try to say, oh, there's different races, and one race and one a race or skin color tries to beat down another one. That's evolution. People who promote that are promoting evolutionary teaching of man, not God's word. They're trying to divide the country. You see, those things are from Satan. They're not from God. God told us there's one race, the human race. We're all equal in God's sight. He wants the same thing from all of us. He expects the same thing from all of us. We need to stand firm on the truth of God's word. We're all created by God in His image. No one is more important or less important. No one is more loved or less loved because of that. Or what about this one? How many sexes are there? You know, the Bible is very clear about that. There are only two sexes, male and female. I mean, you can, the woke mob may try to say there's, 27 now? Different sexes. They may try to say boys can go into girls' bathrooms depending on what they feel like that day. You know, if they wear a skirt. But all of these different things are not disputable. People try to make them disputable, but God's word is very clear, and where God's word is clear, we need to stand firm on God's word. We cannot say, well, it's up to you. No, it's not. God has said, this is the truth, and the truth does not change. Jesus said in John 15, 13, and 14, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. You see, Jesus also gave us one more indisputable thing, one more specific command, and that's how to be saved. He said, I've done what needs to be done. If you follow what I command, you will be my friends. You're the ones I laid my life down for. And what did he say? In John 6:29, he tells us the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he sent. In Acts 3:19, repent then and turn to God so your sins might be wiped out, the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Matthew 10:32, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. We must believe in Jesus, repent of our sins, confess our faith, and we must be baptized, immersed in water, to have our sins taken away by the blood of Jesus. Mark 16:15-16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, this morning we offer the invitation. If you need to obey the commands of Jesus, if you need to rethink what God has told you, and understand the difference between what He has told us specifically that does not change, His truth, His specific commands, and those disputable things that our world tries to make a definite, but is not. Those things that are up to us, that we need to be convinced in our own mind. If you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters, you have that opportunity too. As we stand together and sing our invitation song.